We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
All righty, we are back, and we're going to go ahead and listen to General Kellogg, Keith Kellogg, on Trump versus Biden handling the classified docs. Of course, there's going to be a number of commentary by some of the Fox News people there, but go ahead and take it away, John.
With team coverage, Shannon Bream is here, Keith Kellogg, General Keith Kellogg. But first, let's get right to Carrie Kupek-Urban, Fox News legal editor and former counselor to Attorney General Bill Barr. Carrie, what struck you when you were listening to the spokesperson for the counsel's office?
When he referenced that someone from the Mueller team said it was inappropriate to rob her a Dunn, because it's exactly what the Mueller team did to Donald Trump. They produced a report, hundreds of pages of extraneous information. They declined to bring charges. It effectively, you could say, hamstrung or ruined the first couple of years of Donald Trump's presidency. And I think this sticks out particularly in my mind because it was my job when I was at DOJ to disseminate that report to the public. And I remember thinking at the time how uncomfortable I felt that the Department of Justice was putting out a report criticizing the conduct of someone that we were not indicting. And yet here we are again, seeing DOJ do the same thing to Joe Biden. And I personally think there should be a change to the special counsel regulations, because I do not think these reports are good for justice. There should be a simple guilty or not guilty, but not reports where we trash people's reputations and ruin their administrations, which often can be far worse.
Well, let's actually take a moment here and just rewind the tape a little bit and play out what Ian Sam said on exactly that point. Listen here.
The former FBI general counsel, who I'll add was also the lead prosecutor in the special counsel Mueller investigation, said it was, quote, exactly what you're not supposed to do, which is putting your thumb on the scale that could have political repercussions. That's the assessment of seasoned professional law enforcement officials and prosecutors with deep experience at the Department of Justice.
You know, Shannon, the Mueller report, they didn't put their thumb on the scale. They got a hippopotamus and they put it on the scale.
Well, I mean, remember, what's going to happen here is that A.G. Garland has said he's going to be okay with special counsels going to testify on the Hill. So I would imagine there will be a lot of lawmakers who have questions for all these different gentlemen once they get up there, including Robert Hur. And as you heard the president talking about blaming his staff last night, you've heard Ian Sam say some things that don't necessarily line up with what's in the report. They're going to get to hear from Robert Hur himself. He will clarify on a lot of these issues. He will tell us exactly what he thinks the president did and didn't do with mishandling documents, exactly where they were, whether it was staff that was involved or whether this was, you know, actually trails back to the president and the buck stops with him. So we're going to get to hear probably from Robert Hur, at least according to what the attorney general is telling us. And I think everybody on the Hill would look forward to that.
Shannon, thank you. General Kellogg, you're also here. This obviously brings up a lot of concerns over national security. Where do your concerns lie in what you just heard?
Yeah, this is pretty significant. Look, there's a huge difference between what President Trump did and what President Biden did. You know, there's broad legal authority under Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, what a president can and cannot do, even though it hasn't been adjudicated by the Supreme Court, on classification and declassification of documents. Look, these documents were not taken to his house when he was president. It's when he was vice president and he was senator. And it's a cavalier approach to it. That's how I look at what he has done. And last night when President Biden said, well, he kind of used his hand, said, well, the documents weren't color-coded. You know, every cover sheet on a document, if it's blue for confidential or red for secret or orange for top secret, they're covered. But each paragraph, each page is marked top secret, secret, confidential, or if you even go to the special category, what they call speak at, it's there. So this is a cavalier approach by the president when it's really kind of irresponsible to put that in a garage. And the fact that he's known he's had these for a long time. Look, we handle classified documents hourly in the White House, and we're very, very sensitive to what happened. And I saw how presidents can declassify information. I was in the room when they declassified information with the director of the CIA, the chief of staff, and all the legal representation of the White House. I saw how it was done. but it's not putting it in boxes and taking it home, especially as a vice president or a senator. It doesn't happen at all.
Okay. General Kellogg, thank you so much. We've got some breaking news. We're watching. Thank you.
All righty. We are back. And there you go, Joe. Like we said, again, we have this two-tier system there. And of course, the Communist Party, Democratic Communist Party, you know, it's like in your face, look what we're going to do. And there's nothing worse than what they did, I think, with the January Sixers, the Patriots there, that are all of these years they've spent now, 3 years, many of them in prison, and they haven't even yet had a trial.
They haven't been able to get out on bail. You know, they're still trying to, they're holding them like they were, you know, they had attacked and bombed and killed and really did an insurrection, but mostly they're guilty of trespass, some with minor trespass, some maybe with a little breaking some stuff, but nothing that, you know, would warrant that kind of, you know, the, like they didn't sell national secrets, you know. So this whole thing is just totally unconstitutional. It really is the destruction of the republic. That's what they're doing. They're destroying the republic, turning us into a banana republic, a third world country.
All righty. Do you know who Anna Pauline Luna is?
Strikes a bell. I'm not coming up with it, but I know I've read it.
Well, she's a congresswoman, and she's a very pretty one, too, a very pretty one. So, anyhow, that means she's a Republican.
Because, okay.
Anyhow, Representative Anna Paulina asked, should Hillary Clinton or Stacey Abrams be charged with insurrection? As the House Republican press briefing last week to promote resolution declaring former President Trump did not engage in any insurrection, Representative Anna Pauline Luna from Florida called out the communist Democrats, including Hillary Rodham Clinton and Stacey Abrams. They called into question the validity of prior election results. Yeah, I guess. Representative Luna says, thank you. To follow up on what Representative Crane had stated, you know we have the ability at our disposal, tools to find terrorists in caves in the Middle East, that you cannot find someone who placed the pipe bomb. That's pretty egregious, but we have evidence that the government really helped to cover up what was happening. No kidding. They said they had so many FBI contributors, they called them, or whatever, out there, that they couldn't even count them. They didn't know how many there were. They had so many, right? And I will just point out, all of you, to what happened at Oversight, where we actually questioned Twitter 1.0. We saw that under the Department of Homeland Security and CISA, the CISA, was actually working to not only suppress information to include the president's statements to remain peaceful on January 6th. Remember how he said, yet it was, remember how he said that, yet it was nowhere on social media. Remember how Trump said to go down there very peacefully?
Right. That was exactly, he said, make sure it's peaceful, you know, go down there. And, you know, he was just telling them, he didn't say anything about an insurrection, takeover, break things. Everything was peaceful, demonstration.
It's because these outlets, whether it was Google, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, they are all working to suppress that information. But I wonder why. I wonder why they would want to do that. And it's because the president is truly a man that is outside of the D.C., the District of Crime and Corruption control. And frankly, that's why every single person, I'm pretty sure up there, has endorsed him for re-election, and he is going to win in November. But I want to ask you all the questions on whether or not you think that we should be charging someone like Hillary Clinton with insurrection, someone like Stacey Abrams with insurrections, because they all claim that they won their elections, and we know that Hillary Clinton was full of it. We know that because we saw what came out. In fact, you guys know that censored Adam Schiff, over that. There was no evidence of Russia collusion. That whole Russia farce, remember? Remember that they said, look, we have 51 of you Democrats that are former intelligence agencies. All we want you to do is do what you do best. Get up there and lie. Swear under oath. Swear under oath that there was Russian interference when you know for a fact there wasn't. And that's what they said. Hey, we're Democrats. That's what we do best. And they got up there and they lied through their teeth. So I want to close with this, with saying this. What we have seen happen over the last couple of years has not only been depressing as a member of Congress to witness how much people up here have actually used that lie, used that narrative, not just to smear President Trump, but to tear apart this country. But I do applaud what Representative Getz has done. And what I will say is that those sociopaths that continue to push this lie, once we have this on the floor, if you continue to push this, you guys are all going to be guilty of breaching House privileges, okay? Because we're saying that it didn't happen. We have evidence to back that up. So just think on that for a little bit. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to my good friend Corey Mills and fellow colleague from Florida. Well, there you go. And she left off with that. I think she was right on the money. What do you think?
Right on the money. I know the one thing I want to hear, all those Republicans are demanding that transcript of Biden's interview with the special counsel because he said he spent, 5 hours alone with Biden. That's without a handler, without a wife. Totally alone, and I can't wait to see how they're going to defend not turning that over to the impeachment investigation. But there's some stuff in there that if that ever comes out, that's going to be the icing on the big cake of impeachment and corruption there in the White House.
All right. Mitch McConnell and Senate rhinos helped pass Ukraine funding packages that include language for automatic impeachment of Trump if Trump terminates the funding for Ukraine war. You know, can you believe that? This guy, Donald Trump, he wants us to secure our own border. He thinks...
Oh, the nerve, yeah.
Right. He thinks that we would be better off securing our own border because Obama, Biden, and the Democratic Communist Party have brought in thousands and thousands of terrorists into this country. And they have plans, and these plans are not good at all. And that could start, these terrorist attacks could start, and even the FBI, which is, we played a clip here Friday, and in there, you had the sheriff of Butler County saying how the FBI has said that, look, you guys are going to be on your own. We're outnumbered 50-1. We can't help you. Now, the FBI is a big part. Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray and Comey and all of those that pulled the coup, that were involved in the coup against the legitimate president of this United States, and here they supported China in destroying this country. Remember, Biden's orders from China was you keep that border open, you keep over 50,000 Chinese nationalists have come in. These are plainclothes soldiers, folks. You better understand what's happening. you keep that border, you keep the drugs coming in, and there's all kinds of ways they're making money, and they're laundering this money to continue to keep the drug lords there in Mexico, the cartels, pumping in. One of the ways we heard was that they were using, China was dumping hundreds of thousands of cell phones, of smartphones, over in Saudi Arabia and laundering the money and sending money to getting the drug cartels, and the drug cartels were using that to continue to pump the drugs into the United States here to kill off as many people, young people, as they can. And also, remember, Biden's orders were to all the pedophiles, and the Democratic Party, especially the leadership, is flush with pedophiles. It's flush. This is why the ACLU is trying to legalize pedophilia. Today, if somebody tells me, well, I'm a Democrat, then, Joe, if someone was to tell you, I'm a Democrat, would you say, well, then, all right, then would you just assume that they're pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, and in favor of pedophilia?
Yes, because those are the platforms of the Democrat Party. But to back up a second, where you're talking about all these people coming in, the Chinese and everything, if you look at all the people that have come in, the gotaways, the people we have no idea who they are, where they're from, nothing on them. If only somebody did the math, 0.025, that's 0.25% of these people are gang members, terrorists, military soldiers from another country. That's somewhere between 300 and 350,000 either terrorists, soldiers, or like MS-13 gang members. Now, that's an army. That is possibly the grounds of a real insurrection and invasion, because if they spread out in states and they band in small groups, even, you know, two, three in a group all across the country, you're a soldier, you were in the military, you realize the havoc that 300, 350,000 trained terrorists or soldiers can do inside a country, county fairs, movie theaters, nightclubs, churches, you know, public systems, electric grids. It's terrifying. And I go back to what you were talking about, the sheriff there in Ohio. Though the sheriffs and the police chiefs in the nation were told, you're on your own, you're not going to get any help. And yet we have a pretty good-sized army that's invaded us because, well, they didn't have to invade. They just walked through an open border. So when the, I'm trying to think of a good way to say, when the commoner hits the fan,
yep.
We can all thank Joe Biden and trying to build up the Democrat Party and buy votes. And it's going to, could lead to some real horrible problems for this nation, for our children and grandchildren. The fear we're going to have here, if the terrorist attack starts like Israel's had to put up with, this country is not ready to deal with that.
All right. Well, this is why Tactical Civics is moving as quickly as it is, because people realize that, as I talked to this morning, as I talked to my county sheriff, I told him we're going to have a militia, okay? It's gonna happen pretty soon, and so we're going to need to be able to get the right people in charge of this militia, and so I'm going to be talking with him, because the militias have to work directly with the sheriff's department. And
because he's the highest elected official in the state as far as the law enforcement goes, right?
Well, in his county, they are. Okay, now, I mean, technically, the county coroner could actually have the sheriff arrested if he wanted to. I mean, if the situation was right, if the coroner, well, he had would have the authority in the right circumstance, but now
there's a set of rules. The sheriff would have to do something really bad. I mean,
yeah.
You know, You can't just step in and say, we don't like him politically. It has to be some major major offense.
But even the sheriff's department falls under the authority of the militia and the ruling of the grand jury. So the grand jury is the highest judicial. The grand jury is, and the militia is there to back up the grand jury. The militia,
grand jury, right.
The militia is civilian, but it's the people, and we're talking about in the militia. Let's just say you would have probably 10 times more people armed in the militia than you would have in the sheriff's department, if not more than 10 times.
Right, but if you have a constitutional sheriff, then he should be in charge of what goes on. You would he knows more about law enforcement and tactics and law than the citizen would.
Right, and that's why we have and the idea is to get a sheriff that's clean, okay? Nowadays, with what's happening out there in our politicians, well, here's a good example of what we're talking about. Mitch McConnell, remember last week what Mitch McConnell was doing? He was telling people, I wouldn't, the country has changed the attitude. We should vote no on this bill, this funding package, this. And so what happened? That was last week. Well, he's changed his mind. He's thrown in, and they had a surprise Super Bowl session. In an unusual session held on Super Bowl Sunday, the Senate voted to move forward with substantial $95 billion aid package that would support Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan, and no money at all. Nothing at all for our borders.
All they would have had to say is close the border, you get the money. But no. And we've got Senator Rand Paul, Senator J.D. Vance there in Ohio, and they're both out, you know, talking loudly about the fact that this aid package, not only is it bad, doesn't do the border, but it could handcuff Donald Trump if he does win, because it'll set aside that he can't do anything to change, you know, how much money is going to go to Ukraine, even if Trump wants to try and negotiate a settlement to the war. And I'm hearing people, even Tucker Carlson was out interviewing Putin, and everybody's screaming, how could he do this? He's a traitor. Why did you do it right now? And Tucker said, I started about three and a half years ago trying to interview Putin, but the government wouldn't let me, and all kinds of other things prevented, and he finally got through to get an interview. And one of the things he said is Putin's willing to sit down and negotiate. Now, it might not be what Ukraine wants, but there is a possibility of a solution there. You notice the Biden doesn't want to have any kind of settlement with Russia, negotiations with the war in Ukraine. But he's telling Israel, you have to make a settlement. You have to have a two-state solution with the Hamas, who wants to kill every Jew, you know, from the river to the sea. Palestine will be free. So he wants to force Israel to compromise and make a treaty with people who want to kill him. And yet he will not stand and negotiate or do anything with Russia and Ukraine. So, you see, again, everything is two-sided in this world. The Republicans and Democrats, everything is diametrically opposed. You couldn't get a clearer picture between right and wrong, righteous, unrighteous, true and false. I don't care what words you put. The Republican Democrats are totally ideologically, you know, opposed.
Well, you know, here they put with this again. Can you imagine this? In the language, an automatic impeachment if President Trump terminates the funding for the Ukraine war. Now, and listen to this. You expect every single communist, every Democrat signed up, but Joe, 18 Rhino Republicans, 18 Rhino Republicans betrayed again. They stuck it to us again. They should not be Republicans. And I want you folks to remember them. Shelley Moore, Capito from West Virginia, Rhino from West Virginia. Bill Cassidy, Rhino from L.A. What L.A. is what? What state is that? You know what I'm thinking, don't you? What is?
No, I'm not coming up with it. I'm sorry.
Come on.
Keep that list of the rhinos.
It's right on the tip of my tongue, and I can't. Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
It's Louisiana. Yeah. Louisiana. Susan Collins from Maine. John Cornyn from Texas. Joni Ernest from Iowa. Chuck Grassley from Iowa. John Kennedy. You know, here, I'm finished with John Kennedy. I always, you know, thought for. He was mostly on the right side of things, and Chuck Grassley, too. Gee, Chuck Grassley's got to be close to 100 years old, I think.
He's getting old, yeah. But Kennedy usually is very outspoken, usually is very logical on the right side. It's almost like every once in a while he jumps off the deep end and does something stupid. I can't figure it out.
Well, you know, he's lost me now, and so has John Kennedy. And Joni Ernst, I've noticed she's going farther and farther to the left all the time.
Left, yeah. She's joined there for a while. She wasn't part of that group, but now more and more she is, yep.
China, Mitch McConnell, Jerry Moran, Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Mitt Romney from Utah, Mike Rounds from South Dakota, Dan Sullivan from Alaska, John Thune from South Dakota, Tom Tillis from North Carolina, Roger Wicker from Mississippi, and Todd Young from Indiana. Those were your 18 rhinos that betrayed us and turned around and betrayed President Trump and us.
Yeah, there well, as Trump said, if they betray him, it's betraying us. If they're coming after him, they're coming after us, you know. And he's really told the truth. They're so mad at him because the people believe what he said and
now,
believe about America, make America great again. And he's rallying the people to stand up. And that's why he's such a target, because the people are following him. They really want to stop us, and they think they have to cut him off at the knees to stop us.
I'm afraid in the House, because it's got to go to the House next, right?
And the good news is Steve Scalise is back, and that kind of swings some vote changes there. They're going to probably be able to impeach Mayorkas here in a day or two. I think, where is it, maybe Wednesday or something, they were going to re-vote on that. We probably get Mayorkas impeached, and we might just be able to squeak out a victory in the House.
Well, if we can stop it in the House, that'll work. That'll really work.
Yeah, that would be a wonder.
But, you know, whatever rhinos betray us, we got to announce them and let people know, okay, that we'll remember in November. So, you know, we're tired. We're tired of being betrayed, just so tired of being betrayed by these rhinos. Hang tight, we'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away.
It feels so fine, this New Age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the New Age church is for. The truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth, but it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all.
you will be there. I am, he died, and he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man kind to be scared. Will I go to heaven, or as I fear, below? I am, he said. You had better care. Is it a judgment for all? You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died.
All right, there you go. I am that I am. All righty, we're going to open the phone lines and take some calls, and we're going to go out to Dayton. Hey, Glenn, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Sir.
Hello, go ahead.
Hey, I had two things that I wanted to add, if possible. They're showing all this footage of everybody that was going down to Eagle Pass, Texas, and to Border Park. My mother-in-law and father-in-law live here in St. Mary's, Ohio, and they snowbird down in Houston, Texas. And they traveled with a group from the place where they stay down there down to Eagle Pass. And my father-in-law called me back and told me what a big sham it was, because he said right there at Border Park, and I wanted to see if you guys were aware of this, because I've seen someone else showing a video online about it. But they've got all of the Army National Guard and all the guys out there with their guns and the barbed wire and all that. But about a quarter mile down from that park, there's a big gap in the border fence. There's no one there. There's not even a gate hanging, nothing. And my father-in-law said they're just getting everybody stirred up on TV, showing and telling all that. But he said, literally, if you drive a quarter mile down, just like the guy showed in the video, there is not a soul there, and there's a gap big enough that you could have parked a semi in it almost. He said there's not even a gate hanging. And so the second thing I wanted to add, if that's the case, they've got all those alligators that they harvest every year in Texas and the big boa constrictor snakes. Why don't they take and relocate some of those and place those down there instead? I bet we'd get a heck of a lot of nice boots and belts and wallets out of it.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. You know, I went down along San Diego. I traveled for miles down that along the border fence. And then we got to a place where, like you said, it wasn't that big, you know, but it was probably 10, 12 feet, just wide open. And it's like they left it open there. And you could tell there were some people in the area watching that fence. But you never know who they were, or if they were, which side they were working for. I know that they actually followed me for a ways.
My father-in-law took my father-in-law took some footage with his phone, just like the guy on, I think it was Facebook that did it. And he said, literally, he said, you got all the barbed wire, all the Humvees, all the military guys. And he said, at about the 8th mile down mark, there was a big chain link gate there between the border wall fence that Trump had put up, the reddish brown fence. And it's got a big log chain around it. But you go down about an 8th mile more, and he said it's almost exactly at the quarter mile mark to the southeast of that border park that they kept showing on TV where everybody was meeting up. And it is wide open. He said there's not even like clips where they were, where they even tried or attempted to hang a gate or anything there. That there's not a soul inside around it, no guards, no immigrants, nobody. But it's wide open.
Huh. I don't know what's going on there. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
You see people crossing there? Because from what my understanding, there are places that they love to cross because the river slows down or narrows or the shallows where they can get across. Other places, there's some deeper holes where it's dangerous, so they pick the crosses that they can get the people across easily. That was my understanding why certain places are fortified and others aren't. Is because
did your father-in-law see people coming in?
He said that he did not see anyone. He said the guards definitely had it to where anybody that was coming across right there at that location and then within a few miles of there, everybody was coming across the bridge as they were supposed to be. He said he did not see. So it definitely, if they were flowing through there regularly, they definitely weren't while they was down there because, like I said, there was a group of, I think, about 20 of them from their place where the village where they stay out there in Houston that all traveled down there together. And he said, no, he said, we did not see anyone coming across, but who's going to come across on the National Guard and all the razor wire fence? So,
all right, very good. Well, Glenn, what station are you listening to us on out there in Dayton?
I'm listening to 106.5 in Dayton. I think it's Dayton and Toledo both. It's Truth Broadcasting.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. All righty, let's go out to Cleveland with David. David, you're in the air.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
I can. Yeah, go ahead.
Good to hear. I just wanted to share I just feel that it's a wonderful time to be alive, you know. There's everything going on just like God said it would be. And here we are at such a time like this, sir. I mean, it's just a wonderful time to be an evangelist. I'm an evangelist. I'm always all over the streets. And now there's people who are unsaved. I mean, they're just about done, you know. It's almost time, but they ain't going to have the door open to them for no more, you know. They can't sit there forever in this unsaved state with this crazy world going. I mean, everybody knows the place is crazy. But the ones I'm really looking for is the ones that have their gifts buried, okay. There's a bunch of them got their gifts buried doing nothing. I want to get them activated. And then there's the other ones that are asleep at the wheel. You understand? They're sleeping. They should be working too. And then there's the other ones that got their focus off Jesus and focus on all sorts of crazy other stuff. Some of the other people I want to get activated. I want a real true revival with people who should be doing something with a time like this. I love this time, brother.
All righty. Now, David, listen. David, what will it take? There's something the Bible says that it's very necessary for us to have revival. It's got to come first. What is that?
Well, first of all, I know what you got to be walking in the Spirit daily, every minute of the day, brother. This has to be a spirit.
Well, it's repentance. Okay? There's got to be repentance. There's got to be repentance, David. Repentance comes first.
I understand about repentance. I understand, okay. Brother, but I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about getting these people going. But the thing is, here, remember this, brother, okay? God said, ye little children. We're just little children. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit in us. But wait, remember, we are just little children. We ain't so big, you know? But God will use us. Do you understand? He is the one who's going to take care of everything. The Holy Spirit in us is going to take care of everything, brother. And the last thing I want to share with you, it isn't about USSAAALO, whatever. It's about Israel. And we're going to be out of the way one day, and everything's going to happen just like God said in his grand scheme. I'll see you later, brother.
All right, thanks. All right, there you go. It's got to take, Joe. First, it's got to be repentance. But again, remember, three missions that God's Bible gives us very clearly, and the first of those three is the Great Commission. That's job one, and that's what we try to do here every single day, okay? We try to get that out. And so, in fact, we'll be given that invitation coming up here in just a very few minutes. And so, mail-in ballot fraud. Study finds Trump almost certainly won the 2020 election. No kidding. Hey, Joe, a new study of mail-in ballots fraud challenges the official results of the 2020 presidential election. They have a picture here of empty envelopes of open vote by mail ballots for the presidential primary are stacked on a table at King County Elections in Renton, Washington. And here you have all of these illegal ballots here. Goes on to say, a new study examining likely impact of fraudulent mail-in ballots held in the 2020 election concludes that the outcome would almost certainly have been different without the massive expansion of voting by mail. The Heartland Institution study tried to gauge the probable impact that fraudulent mail-in ballots cast for both then-candidate Joe Biden and his opponent, President Donald Trump, would have in overall 2020 elections. The study was based on data obtained from the Heartland Rasmussen survey in December that revealed that, listen to this, Joe, listen, 1 in 5 mail-in voters admitted, Joe, 1 in 5 mail-in voters admitted to fraudulent actions in the presidential election. 20%.
Yep, I was just going to say that is a number more than large enough to have changed the total outcome of the election right there.
Absolutely. All right, who do we have next there, John?
Brian in Dallas.
Let's go out to Dallas with Brian. Brian, you're in the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Pastor Ernie and Joel. Hey, here in Dallas, we had another incident where a city council member had her home spray painted and graffitied over the weekend with a bunch of Palestinian stuff all over her fence and stuff about the ladies also. She's Jewish that worked for the city Dallas council. But Trump, you know, he has made several announcements about these bad people coming here, and they're in everybody's city. There's no escaping from it. They're assaulting police officers. They're destroying our national cemeteries, which was that happened about 3 weeks ago in Los Angeles. I don't know if you guys caught that or not, but they're here. And now we got a shooting down here in Houston, Texas, at the Joel Osteen Church, and the lady had a decal on her weapon about Palestine. And you know, like I say, they're here, and this is bad.
Well, this is what
was a transsexual that was a male who identifies as a female. And if you'll notice, some of the stuff that we've brought up over the past quite a few weeks and months is how many crimes and weird things are being committed by these transsexuals. They're raping children. They're committing crimes of violence. They're unstable people. And this is something the left is not one out there that, most of these people are mentally ill and unstable, and people are afraid to say that. It's not politically correct, you know.
Well, Joe, World News Daily is saying that, no, it's a female that sometimes presents herself as a male. But
is that it? Okay, I thought it was the other way around. The picture, it looked like a she, so I assumed that it was a he transferring.
No, it was a biological female that often,
presents as a male. Okay,
yeah.
I got it. But still, I got it the wrong way, but still one of those that wants to be something they aren't.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brian. Let's move on. Who do we have next? Let's go to San Diego and Jack. Jack, you're in the air.
Yes, I just wanted to remind your listeners that for 70 years, the United States has protected the border between North in South Korea, nobody gets across that border. So obviously what's going on our border is intentional.
And yes.
One of the things they want to accomplish, and I think they're very close to doing it, is to make sure that white people are a minority in the United States of America.
Yeah. Joe Biden, when he was a senator, said that he gave a warning about bringing in so many of these illegals, or that pretty soon the white people would be a minority. We would be a minority here. And he was warning, and now he's praising that. Now he's saying that's a wonderful thing, because they told him, no, Joe, here's what you're going to say now. You do exactly what we tell you, Joe. And so what a difference, huh?
Well, all right. Well, the other thing interesting, if you look back, who was it that created Western civilization that brought the world up out of poverty and started making life easier and better? It was Western civilization, God, family, country, that brought prosperity to the world, brought freedom, all the good things. And I hate to tell people, but it did come from the white race. It did not come from anywhere else.
Very good. Thanks, Jack. Who do we have next? Let's go. Clifford.
Yeah.
You're in the air.
Looking at Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, and I see a correlation. I don't know if you agree with the parable of the sower, where people seem to start out as good and then faded. That's Hosea chapter 6, 1 to 5.
Well, I'm familiar with that. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in the strait. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is perpetual as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, and as the latter and the former rain unto earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, and the early dew is on the
as
goeth
it goes away.
Yeah, okay. Two prophetic mysteries there are suggested here. Remember, Jesus Christ was representing the true Israel in his death and was raised on the third day. And, of course, the earthly nation of Israel, seemingly dead for about 2,000 years, will be raised for her 1,000-year millennial reign when she returns to Messiah. He to her and at the end of this present age. That's what that's referring to. So.
Yeah, also this idea, though, it says the light of his judgment, I think the verse after that, where it will be a judgment for the falling away.
Oh, yeah. But I have to move on because we're out of time. But thanks, Cliff. All right, who do we have? We don't have time for anybody. We got to go. So, Joe, you got 5 minutes right now. Can you do it?
I sure can. I was just thinking, you and I are new creations. We're new creatures.
We don't look new, Joe.
No, spiritually, we're new.
All right.
And so many people that I've run into, what's all this about becoming a new person? You know, I mean, I am who I am. What does God mean by that? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's talking about we become a new creature, a new spiritual being in Christ. And if we are in Christ, then we become this new creature. The old us is gone. The new man is created spiritually. We still live in these physical bodies that sin, and we, even after we're forgiven of sins, we have to admit to the Lord you know, we've sinned again today, you know, and be forgiven. But we can be forgiven, but we're always to do that word, repent. That first word that Jesus said in his ministry was repent. And it's the born-again believer that understands that our body is still a sinful flesh, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. And we need that indwelling of the Holy Spirit that makes us that new man. And the same thing in Romans 8, verses 9 and 10. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, we can't belong to him. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, our sinful bodies, but the Spirit is life because of Christ's righteousness. We have spiritual life that will be forever. And the Lord has promised, and when the rapture comes, our spirit rises up and will be given what? We'll be given a new, our body will be raised, I'm sorry, not our spirit, our remains, whatever form they're in, the dust of the earth will be taken out of graves, or if we're alive, we'll raise to be with Christ and be given a new resurrected body, a glorified body that will have no pain, no sin, and will be able to be with Christ forever. But for all of this to happen, for us to be these new people, to have the new heart that God said he will give us, the new spirit that he will put in us, we have to become this born-again believer. As Jesus told Nicodemus, you know, you must be born again. And to do that requires something simple, but yet it takes a lot from the heart. You must, with a repentant, sorrowful heart, call upon Father God, confess that you're a sinner, that you are sorry that your sins placed his son upon that cross, because that's why Jesus went to the cross. He took my sins, Pastor Ernie's sins. He will take your sins. They were nailed to the cross with him, and he paid the price. The wages of sin is death, and he paid that price to sin.
1 minute, Joe.
The Lamb of God. So you ask for forgiveness. The Lord will grant it with a true heart. Then you can ask Jesus to be Lord of your life, that you give yourself to him completely, willingly, and you want to become one of his children, a child of the kingdom, a born-again believer. And he will send you that indwelling of the Holy Spirit that makes you that new creature, that new creation, and you become a child of the kingdom, a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. You will find yourself changed from within. You will find peace and happiness and joy you've never found. And you will begin to grow in knowledge and love of the Lord, the greatest decision you will ever, ever make. And you must make it for yourself. No one can do it for you. Right, Pastor?
Absolutely right. Because all of what you just said, you've got God's word on that. And there's
Amen.
Nothing.
That is the best there is.
Nothing. There's nothing more sure. Well, we say good night. Say good night, Joe.
Good night.
All right, all you folks out there, say God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, always,
always.
Ready? Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.